Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, the NHL Awards presented by Bridgestone takes place tonight, 8 p.m. in Las Vegas. Sabres defenseman Rasmus Dahlin is a finalist for the Calder Trophy for Best Rookie. Dahlin led all defenseman rookies in points, 44, assists, 35, and power play points. He had 20 and finished second in goals with 9. Obviously, Mr. Pettersson, top candidate for that one. Can't remember his first name. Defenseman Justin Braun was traded to the Flyers by the Sharks yesterday for a second-round pick in 2019 NHL draft and a third-round pick in the 2020 draft. Braun, 16 points, 2 goals, 14 assists, and 78 games with the Sharks this season, 1 assist in 20 Stanley Cup playoff games. It's been reported that center Kevin Hayes is close to signing a 7-year contract worth $50 million. That's 7.14 of a cap hit. That will rank 18th amongst all NHL centers. If you're shaking your head, we all are too. It will be the third highest in the Flyers behind captain Claude Giroux and winger Jacob Voracek. According to the Carolina Hurricanes general manager Don Waddell, goalies Peter Mrazek, Curtis McIlhenny will likely become unrestricted free agents on July 1st after Carolina has been unsuccessful in their attempts to sign the goalies to new contracts. Waddell didn't rule out one of the goalies going back to the Hurricanes after talking to other teams. And over to football, the Bills announced this morning that they will be conducting 2 joint practices with the Carolina Panthers in Spartanburg, South Carolina on August 13th and 14th, leading up to their preseason game in Charlotte on the 16th. Tune into One Bills Live from noon to 3 with John Murphy and Steve Tasker for more details. And it's been reported that Cleveland Browns GM Phil Savage is expected to join the Jets personnel staff. And today's National Day. It's National Martini Day. It's National Garfield the Cat Day. Legendary. Kind of think those two go hand in hand. I kind of feel like Garfield was canned half the time on martinis anyway. Do you know who Garfield is? Of course you do.
Of course.
Are you a martini drinker? I'm just trying to educate. Is Buttsy on there yet? Okay, now, Buttsy probably had a few martinis last night.
Only time I have a martini? Once a year.
Okay, there's a reason for this. What is it?
Christmas.
Christmas. Christmas martini.
Usually have a nice martini with my mom.
With your mom.
Yep.
I just got to say this. You know whose birthday or who was born today? I'm going to sing you her song.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me who is the singer.
What's the age?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Straight up now, tell me, do you really want to love
me forever?
Oh. Yeah, you know who it is? As we wait for Chris Butler and sing, Paul Abdul.
Oh.
Come on, Riv.
Man.
Come on. Right. Lou Gehrig, he was born on this day. Obviously, Lou Gehrig's disease, we know about that. We have some close friends and family that have lost people to Lou Gehrig's disease. So, Mia Sara, I don't know who that is. And Ryan Hurst, I don't think I know who that is. If I'm supposed to know who they are, tell me. You're supposed to know who Chris Butler is, and he's going to be supposedly joining us. He confirmed yesterday that 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time was going to work. And I can appreciate if he's not quite out of bed yet. I mean, I can, you know.
I want to know flat out, like, how bad is his body right now?
He has a wife and kids. Okay,
did you see the Zach Sanford video?
Did he fall off something?
No, that was Barbashev. Fell off the float.
Yeah, is he hurt?
He's not hurt. Okay. He jumped back up.
Okay,
and Zach Sanford was sitting in one of the vehicles driving through the parade, and blue chunks
no.
in the vehicle.
No.
You haven't seen
he
this?
He had the flu. He did the parade.
He had the flu. Yeah.
He had, what was his fever running? It That's was, commitment to go to do the Stanley Cup parade. With the flu, to me, I feel yeah, like that's the ultimate yeah. team player. Now, here's wow. the bigger question. You're married with multiple kids.
Yeah.
Oh, Buttsy's on. Buttsy.
Yeah, sorry, I missed you.
Stanley Cup champion Chris Butler. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm good. I'm detoxing right now. I'm doing better.
Until detox until what, 11:30 when this interview's done?
Yeah, probably. I try not to start before.
Buttsy, how many IVs have you had up to this point?
Zero. I'm not a big believer in those things. I'd rather just get back, right back on the train, maybe have a couple more Bud Lights and kind of get back to even again.
Hey, Pedialyte's in play?
Exactly. You've been there before.
Yeah, 7 years ago was my last Pedialyte IV to my vein. Hey, are you in Vegas with the boys right now?
No, everybody's home now.
Did you go to Vegas with the boys?
I did not, no.
Okay, good for you. Good for you.
Good for you. You know what? I was a part of it, but I thought the guys that were there and the guys that were playing should have time with it and enjoy it, and they earned it more so than I did.
Oh, okay. All right. How was the ride, Butts? I mean, I got to tell you, man, it was amazing. That picture that we took that I sent you with you and your buddies with the cup, and I mean, we weren't rooting for the St. Louis Blues. We were rooting for you, Chris Thorburn, Steve Ott. I mean, like to be a part of something like that because you're retiring.
Yep. Yeah, that was it. And not a lot of people knew that at the time. Probably only management and a few close buddies on the team, but I wanted to keep it quiet. Didn't really want to make it about me, obviously, considering I wasn't playing. Didn't want to be a distraction, but pretty nice way to go out, to be able to lift that 35-pound chunk of steel over your head. You know, you see so many guys do it over the course of the years, and you never think you'd be in that moment. I certainly never even dreamed of doing something like that growing up, but having the opportunity was a bit of a blur. You almost kind of black out, and you kind of let out a big yell, and it was an unbelievable moment, and it's cliche and boring, but it's hard to put it into words at the time.
And what is the reason for you to pack it in? You know, like you're relatively still a young guy. You're going to be turning 33 in October. You know, you were the type of player where you could skate circles around so many guys. I would have thought that you'd be playing till 40 with the way that you the way that you move around the ice. Is there a reason why you're looking to go in a different direction?
Well, there's a couple of different factors. Family's one of them. I have two small kids now, and you kind of get tired of missing things and missing birthdays and Halloweens and stuff like that. And then another big one is I had a second concussion late in the year. I took a slap shot off the face, and with all the information and science behind all the stuff that's going on with CTE, it had never really hit me until that point, and it's scary. Especially having a family, you want to be around and you want to be able to remember things and you want to be able to be sharp and play with your kids. And you just hear so many horror stories about guys going through tough times. And this is all icing on the cake, too, winning the Stanley Cup. I probably would have stuck with my guns and retired anyways. But it was I was ready for another challenge, too. You know, I spent the last couple of years in the American League, and the American League's a grind, and I never dreamed of playing in the American League growing up. And yeah, you can make a great living playing there and make some good money and provide for your family, but I was ready for another challenge. And the NHL is a challenge, but at my age and where I've been the last couple of years, playing in the NHL probably wasn't a realistic opportunity for me anymore, and I'm ready for something new and something exciting.
Can you let us in on what that could be?
Well, getting you fat were... for one, getting fat. You got to, like, is there a weight limit you're willing to get yourself to before you start staying physically active? How many rounds of golf and all that stuff?
Well, I worked out yesterday because I was disgusted with myself after, I don't think I've had a vegetable probably in the last 2.5 weeks. It's been a lot of chicken wings and a lot of Bud Light. So I needed to get in the gym yesterday and get a little bit of a sweat. So I think I've still got some more in the system that I need to get out, but I want to get into coaching. I want to get into whether it's management, player development, something like that. The last couple of years being an older guy and being in the American League, I've had a chance to kind of work with some younger guys and help them work on their games and teach them some things, much like you guys did for me when I was younger. And I just kind of realized that I have a passion for teaching and a passion for helping guys. And, you know, you feel like a proud father when a young guy gets to go up and play in his first game and get an opportunity, and you see them do well, and you can kind of coach them and help them, and they can come to you as a peer more comfortably than they would go to a coach or an agent or something like that. So it's something I've really enjoyed the last couple of years, and hopefully I can continue that, as a, whether it's player development, management, coaching, whatever it may be.
Have you talked to anybody in St. Louis? Sorry, Riff, did you want to?
No, I was just going to say, you know, would that be at the NHL level, American League? I know that you came from, you know, Denver University, which is obviously one of the best, you know, college teams out there. Would you ever think about maybe trying to get back there for a coaching?
Yeah, I would. And, you know, it's funny how small the hockey world is. One of the kids that I had as a recruit at Denver is now the head coach there. So
Dave Carl.
Good ties there. Yeah, I've got good ties there. And you know, growing up in St. Louis, I never thought in a million years I'd get a chance to spend 5 years in the Blues organization. So
yeah, that's right.
They've reached the pinnacle after being in the league for 52 years. And, you know, I'd love to stay in the organization and help them achieve another one. But I understand that the hockey jobs are kind of few and far between. So if it means that I have to go somewhere else or do something else, then I'm willing to do that too.
That's another crucial point too that I think people forget, is that you're from St. Louis. So, I mean, take us through the playoff run. I mean, you know, there's so many, you know, you have an inside track and perspective on something that very, very few people get to see. And number one, there was a galvanizing moment for that team this year, because it seemed like at a certain point that things were a bit disarray. And mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, you know, you stabilize goaltending. I mean, Binnington, a story. Berube, what did Berube do? When did the players believe? And just kind of all of it, Butts, because St. Louis this year might be one of the most fascinating stories and turnaround in sports.
It's a story meant for a movie. And, I mean, January 1st, last in the league, and everybody in town, everybody around the league is throwing labels on everybody. You know, Vladimir Tarasenko's a cancer. Ryan O'Reilly's a problem. You know, Jay Bouwmeester's lost a step. Alex Steen should be scratched. You know, it was...
Sounds like you're listening to the instigators.
Yeah, Jaden Schwartz was having a terrible year offensively. I mean, you could have gone down the list, and it was just everybody was underachieving, but there was so much pressure on this team for the first time ever. And when you bring in new parts, as you know, it takes time to come together. And, you know, you need a few road trips to get to know each other and to sit around and chat and have some beers and kind of come together as a group. And you know, there were a few different instances throughout the year. You know, everybody wants to talk about the fight and practice, changing things, but you guys were a part of an era where that stuff happened all the time and it wasn't blown out of proportion. And to me, I didn't see it as a big issue. But there was a trip down to Florida for a dad's trip where the guys went down and came back, I think, from like a 2 or 3 goal deficit against the Panthers, and then went in and shut out Tampa Bay the next day, which I know Riv loves his Lightning, but they got bounced in the first round, so shows what he knows. So it was, I think that was kind of the turning point, and that's where everybody started believing. And Craig Berube is as honest as a coach gets. And I had him a couple years ago in the American League, and you know his reputation. And we went 0-4 to start the year, and he calls me in his office after the game, and I'm like, oh, that's it. He's going to strip the C right off my jersey. He's going to tell me we suck. We're skating at 8 a.m. the next morning. And he pulls me in there and says, you know what? It's a long year. I want to make sure all the guys are together tonight, have some fun, and we'll get back to work on Monday. And it was just kind of one of those moments where I'm like, oh my God, this guy gets it. Like, we're not going to panic. And he just had that belief in this team. And every single day he talks to guys, and he doesn't bring guys into his office. He's always out mingling with the guys, grabbing a coffee, asking how your family's doing. And he genuinely cares about guys. And,
it's not silent when he walks through the room.
No, it's not. You know, it's win, lose, or draw the night before. And yeah, he gets fiery and animated, as I'm sure you guys have seen on the bench, but he believes in his guys, and he got them to believe in themselves again, and that's when things turned around.
That's amazing. So he's back next year?
Yeah, I would think so. He's going to probably be bringing some hardware with him. I think there's a good chance he wins the old Jack Adams.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, that's tonight. He could be up for that, Buttsy. Let me ask you something. Do they tell you and players, because I know it's kind of an uncomfortable conversation when you're in this situation, and it was one that I wouldn't have been looking forward to having, but I would have been had we won in 05-06. Riv doesn't like talking about it, but will you get a ring? Do they know about names on cups and all that stuff?
My understanding is I'll get a ring, yes. Name on the cup, obviously, the rules are, I think, what, 41 or 42 games in the regular season or one in the final. So I know they can petition for guys, so if guys want to petition for me, that'd be great. If they don't, I certainly understand that, too. So I know I'll get a day with it so I can share it with some family and friends and maybe have a few last sips out of it before it goes on to its next city.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing, Buttsy. I mean, like, it doesn't even matter, right? Like, let's go off script of questions. I mean, it doesn't even matter, name on the cup or not. I mean, that what you just lived, nobody will ever, except for the 23 or 25 or 27 guys every year, get to experience that once a year. It's
yeah.
The rarity of it is amazing.
And it hasn't really sunk in yet. Everything that's transpired over the last 2 months, you know, I mean, double overtime against Dallas, you know, could have easily lost that game. And I was actually at the hospital. We had a kid the day before, so I'm holding a one-day-old watching, you know, a buddy of mine, Pat Maroon, who I grew up with in St. Louis, score in double overtime against a guy that I played youth hockey with and high school hockey with in Ben Bishop in Dallas. So that was just a crazy moment to see that. And you know, the series that scared me the most was probably the Winnipeg series. And that team was just so heavy and so physical, and they could do it all. But you know what? The guys answered the bell. And then I think after that, the physicality of St. Louis, I think, really started to wear down other teams. You look at what it did to San Jose's defense corps and how they started to turn over pucks. And, you know, then they kind of started to impose their will on Boston there in Game 7. And it was a crazy season, and every time the team should have faltered and folded, they came back and responded after every single loss, every single tough bounce. You know, the hand pass in the San Jose series, too, is just, there were a number of things that should have made this team quit, and they just refused to.
What are you going to do with your day with the cup?
I don't know. I think it's coming quick. It's supposed to start in, like, the middle of July, so I'll have to plan something quickly. I'd love to take it for maybe a quick 9 holes, and then nothing crazy. Maybe just have a bunch of family and friends and then have a nice dinner with it.
Unacceptable. We need to plan something right now. We're the planning committee. The Chris Butler Stanley Cup planning committee.
How many days do you get it, Butts?
Just one.
Just one day? Yeah. And now, does everybody just get it one day, or do they get it like...
No, everybody gets it one day. They sent us an itinerary yesterday. But then there were about 4 or 5 guys in that itinerary that were either in weddings or having weddings that couldn't do it. So they kind of have to rework it a bit. And the old Phil Pritchard or whatever, the guy that travels around with it, said he'll meet you in the morning and he'll take it away at night. So you have your day and he's there to do whatever.
Ball hockey with the boys for the cup. That's a popular one. Are you going to have the baby christened in the cup? Are you going to eat cereal in the cup, out of the cup? I mean, like, come on. Like, when we were on our run, quietly behind closed doors, I had a buddy who would come over and hang out all the time, and we would just kind of daydream. Because I wasn't playing, so I was just, like, daydreaming. And I was like, we're going to...
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah. I mean, and somebody's like, what would you do? And I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it. He's like, what would you do? I'm like, well, I think one of the things, I'm like, I would go to Harvey's and have him put poutine in that thing. I mean, I would, you know, you've heard about Marty Brodeur playing ball hockey with his friends for the cup. I mean, going to hospitals. That's unreal, Buttsy. It's unreal. I don't know.
It is. There's a lot of possibilities. I'm a big whiskey guy, so I've got a few nice bottles that I might pour in there. And
you've had a couple just getting dusty on the shelf, have you?
I do, yeah. I don't know if you saw. We had a nice bottle out on the ice after we won it, a nice 13-year Pappy Van Winkle rye that I've been saving for about 4 years. So I was quietly traveling with that, and luckily enough, there were a handful of us that went out there and
how much was left for everybody? Was there like maybe a drop or two for everyone to get a little bit?
Well, it was tough. You know, we all get dressed, and there was about, we probably finally got dressed with about 4 minutes left to go in the game, and they start wheeling in just cases and cases of beer, and it's like, everyone's just looking at them, and it's like, well, do we crack one? I think it was 4-1 at the time. You're like, do you crack one? Do you not crack one? And I was like, I know there's still so much time left in the game, so we had, I think we rifled one down quickly before we went out on the ice.
So, yeah, so even at 4-1 and you guys are getting dressed, you're still nervous.
Oh, 100%. Because, you know, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, especially with that team. I mean, you get Pasternak, Marchand, any of those guys could just blow up and get two quick ones, and then who knows what happens at that point. The crowd starts going nuts. So it was still nerve-wracking. I've never been as nervous for a hockey game. I'm typically pretty even-keeled, especially, you know, sitting in the press box watching. It's a pretty easy game from up there, but you know, that was one of those games where you felt like that annoying super fan. Like every time the guy got the puck, you know, skate, shoot, pass, do this, he's open. Like it was just, I was that annoying guy, and I have to apologize to my teammates who sat next to me.
What, like, who tells you guys that you have to? Because what people don't know, Buttsy, is that the guys that aren't dressed for the game that night, and a lot of people do know, but the guys that aren't dressed for the game that night throw on their gear and go out. Did you throw your jock and elbow pads and everything on, or? Like, you guys,
oh, yeah.
You leave some gear on? Oh, do you?
Yeah, well, it's kind of awkward to get dressed and, like, not put things on, you know? So we all just went full gear, taped the shin pads and everything.
You almost went down with the cop, eh?
There was a bad piece of ice there. I was looking for a guy to hand it to and didn't really tie the skates all that tight, so they were kind of a little loose around the ankles and maybe I should have just gone down with it and just owned it.
How did it feel? How did it feel to get your hands on that cup and do that skate? Like, just,
well, it's heavier than you would think. I kind of call BS on it only being 35 pounds. It felt a little more than that. But when you lift it up over your head and you kind of let out a yell, I think I almost blacked out. It was just one of those feelings of pure joy, elation. It was insane, and it is as special as it would have been to do it in St. Louis in front of the hometown team or in front of the home crowd. It was even cooler to do it in Boston, where every guy could kind of hear each other's celebration, hear that yell, and how much it meant to them and their families and everyone that's been a part of the journey.
Crazy. Did you wear 25 because it's reverse 52?
That's exactly why I wore it.
I'm not kidding.
When I went to St. Louis originally, I had worn 44 in Calgary because I was just given 34 in Buffalo and didn't really want to be a hassle and make Willie have to go back there and change two jersey numbers. So I just left it. And then when I went to Calgary, I wore 44 because Mika Kiprusoff was 34 and I didn't want to ask him to give it up, and I don't think he would have. So when I got to St. Louis, I was going to wear 44, but, you know, Chris Pronger was the last guy to wear 44 in St. Louis, and those are some pretty big shoes to fill. So I'm like, you know what, I'll grab a random number here, and 25 was one of the ones available, and just kind of stuck with it.
Very cool. Amazing, Buttsy. Amazing. I'll tell you this. I said it the other day. I'm so envious of you and what you. I'm not kidding. I mean, that's exactly what we all play for. Is that you hope you can just be lucky enough to be good enough to be a part of a team to go on that ride. That's not about being the superstar, the guy that scores the game winner, the starting goalie. It is about being lucky enough to be able to be there for that ride, and you lived it all the way through, and there are thousands of players that have never seen with their own eyes other than through a TV what you just witnessed. It's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Well,
and I love
I
you, buddy.
It.
And I'm going to tell you what, your rookie year living with me, and I know what Craig means to you. But that letter you wrote me brought tears to my eyes, and it's doing that right now. Because I never in a million years would have ever known that I impacted a player the way you put into words that day in that note.
And I can't, appreciate that.
A handwritten note is the classiest thing you can do. My father's always taught me that. That's why I don't write them. But
well,
it's true.
You know what,
it's true, man. I'm very proud of you.
My mom's a big believer in it, and I sat down for a couple hours, and my family was back in Minnesota, and I was just thinking of a handful of guys that impacted my career in a positive way. And, you know, I end up getting a chance to lift the Stanley Cup over my head, but there's a lot of people that meant a lot to me along the way, and you two were a big part of it, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too, Butts. You know, I was telling Petey, I came in just a couple weeks ago. It was actually, I think, just before, I think it was the last game that you guys played, and I had told Petey, I had said, you know, I got one of the greatest letters I have ever been given in my entire life from Chris Butler, and he kind of looked at me and said, yeah, I got one too. And you know, just to discuss, you know, like, you know, the stuff that was written in it, I mean, it was, you know, you go, you play a long time and you play with a lot of different players over the years and you have great, great memories. You have tough times. And I mean, it was a very, 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 you know, I was in the same situation as Petey. I was in my office reading this letter and it's like I was getting choked up. I called my wife in and I just gave her the letter. And I said, read this. And she looked at my face. She was nervous. She was like, what's going on? What's wrong? And she read it and she's like, wow.
I think I read that letter five times, yeah. Butsy.
Well, you know how it is. I mean, with our business and with our lifestyle, there's a lot of times where you're not around family for holidays or you're not around friends. And, you know, I'll never forget Christmas with you guys, Petey and your family, and going over to Riv's house for dinner. And, you know, when you have kids of your own, you understand how important they are. But to bring somebody else in to have a meal and to cater to them, those are things you don't forget. And like I said, those are things I've tried to do as I've gotten older. And, you know, especially playing in the American League, you got guys that come up from the East Coast League that are making hundreds of dollars and don't have money to fly home for holidays. So you try and take care of those guys like the guys before you took care of you, and you hope that tradition kind of continues on.
Step Brothers is still my favorite movie.
Mine too. There's no greater comedy. Nothing better than sitting in the back of a car driving to Rochester watching that.
Did we do that?
We did.
I don't remember. Hey, go get drunk, man. Go enjoy.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it was great chatting with you. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Butts, on a great career, too. I know you'll be very successful in whatever you do because you're a class act. And thanks for coming on today. And congratulations.
No, my pleasure. Yeah. I appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll cross paths soon.
Yeah, we will. Chris Butler, Stanley Cup champion, right, former Buffalo Sabre, kind enough to join the Instigators here. And we were able to interrupt his hangover. Amazing guy. Another amazing guy coming up next, Jeremy Roenick. We're a few minutes late for him, but well worth it. Love that guy, Chris Butler. Great kid. Not a kid anymore. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
What have you thought much about your future yet as far as playing?
Yeah, probably play another 10 years, so yeah, we'll wait and see, but I'm thinking, yeah, 5 to 10 right now.
5 to 10.
Yeah, right, yeah. I got nothing else going on, so we'll see.
That is Jumbo Joe Thornton. Is Jeremy Roenick on the line?
I'm here, buddy.
I can't believe your commitment to the Instigators is greater than Joe Thornton's commitment to the game of hockey. Do you know that? You are live with us from the Italian Alps?
Italian Alps, baby. I'm actually at a spa up here, and it's absolutely spectacular. Just getting some R&R after a crazy, crazy playoff year. It was awesome. It's great up here.
Your foot in the picture that I showed the boys that you sent me from your, what do you call those, an eternity pool looking over the mountain. Look, your feet look very nicely pedicured.
They are nicely pedicured, but I have the golfer's tan, so I'm getting some sun in my feet. But I will tell you, this is the first, this spa that I'm at, it's a naked spa. It's a nude spa. Like, when you go in the spa, you got to be naked. It's
yeah, but you wouldn't have it any other way, would you?
Well, no. You just have to make sure, you know, you have a robe on. You just have to make sure you get a couple fluffs before you take your robe off. You've got to make sure you're ready for the exposure.
You know? Jumbo Joe Thornton. Jumbo Joe Thornton. Another 5 to 10 years. I got nothing else going on.
Yeah. Don't you just love his attitude? He's just the best. And trust me, if anybody could do it and would do it, Joe would. But, you know, father time is obviously always wins. And, you know, it was interesting to see Carlson sign for $11 million, which kind of wonders to me what's Joe doing in terms of his contract, because they still got Joe Pavelski they have to sign. They still have Tamo Meyer they have to sign.
Yeah, but Joe's not making $5 million or $4 or $3 million. He knows he'll take $1 million, right?
No, but yeah, there's no – that's why I'm saying. I'm wondering what kind of contract he's talking about. Is he talking about $500,000 just to play? Is it $1 million? Because for Carlson to get $11 million, you know, Joe Pavelski's going to get $8.5 million, if, you know, at minimum with his goal scoring, maybe $9 million. You know, where's all this money coming from? So it's going to be really interesting to see how this summit, you know, pans out for the Sharks financially.
Well, the Anaheim – oh, go ahead.
Do you not think that so Pavelski's come off a contract, JR? Yes, he did score 38 goals this year, and he's still playing at a high level of hockey. Do you think, with you knowing Joe Pavelski, do you think that he's going to take, let's just say, hometown discount of $6 million, what he's made in the past? Do you think that he'll continue to take that for, let's say, a 2 or 3 year deal?
I think it's possible he takes 7. I mean, because if you look at his goals over the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years, he's a $9 million player, especially with Skinner, you know, not making, you know, that type of money. That Joe Pavelski, you know, by Skinner's contract, Joe should be making 10. But I think Joe will probably take the hometown discount. I think he does love it in San Jose. He does feel that being the captain is very important to him and is an honor and a responsibility. It's going to be really interesting to see what he does sign for. I talked to him the other day. He didn't give me any inklings on what he was thinking, but I would have to think, knowing his character and the way he plays, and, you know, knowing what money means to him, I think he might be taking a hometown discount to make sure he has the best team he has underneath him to win.
I'm not sure how important the NHL breaking news is over at your spa there, but the Ducks are in the process of finalizing paperwork to buy out Corey Perry.
Well, you saw that coming, right? I think, you know, with the injuries he's had, he missed most of last year. You know, his body has been taking a beating. He is on the older side of the game, and I think speed-wise is past him. As good as Corey Perry has been in the game for so long, Corey Perry's game is not a speed game, and you can only be a mucker and a grinder and a pain in the ass so much. You know, I definitely think his body's taking a beating, and it would not surprise me. I think it was more of a surprise to me that Deion Phaneuf got bought out by the LA Kings, to tell you the truth, more than Corey Perry.
Now, do you think that Corey Perry is in a situation to go to a team and basically take next to nothing to try and win a Stanley Cup, or do you think that he's got a few years left in him to make some money and play this game and just have a fresh start?
Yeah, I think the money aspect is passed him by now. I don't think, for some of the reasons I just said, you know, injury prone, older, and body's not as fast, all those different things. I think if he wants to continue, it's going to be definitely as a role player on the third or fourth line and try to find one of the best teams that he can be one of those role players.
I think I know where he's going to go, boys. Mike Babcock said in his year-end thing, press conference, we got big guys coming. He'll go play for $1 million under Babcock or something like that. Leafs.
In the New York-Toronto minute.
Yeah, absolutely. He's from Peterborough. I mean, you know, he played for London. He's an Ontario boy. He spent his whole career out in the sun. I mean, he might want to come try to win.
He would be a good fit in Toronto because Toronto needs a little bit of an edge. I don't think they have an edge. The edge that they have is a guy like Nazem Kadri who, you know, gets them into trouble like he did in the playoffs, not knowing, you know, much what's going to happen to him. But, you know, they do need a little bit of a bite and a little bit of edge. I think he does supply some of that.
So is that a player that you think the Buffalo Sabres should maybe make a phone call with? You know, he's 34 years old, and yes, he did have a season last year. He only played 31 games. He was injured pretty much the entire season. But the seasons before that, JR, 49 points, 53, 62, 55, 82. Like, is this a player that you feel coming into next year with a great summer of training? And the way I look at it is he's been in Anaheim his entire career. Sometimes when a player like this gets traded, and I'll give you an example, look at Eric Staal coming, being moved from Minnesota, and he had a fantastic rebound season. Is this a player that you think that you could sign for a low contract and maybe just quite perhaps that you could get a big return on him?
I think he's a guy that if you put him in the right situations with the right players, he can get you 15 or 20 goals. And if that's the case, then that's a huge win if you're getting a guy like Corey Perry. And I think he's a quality guy. I don't know if you know him that much. He's a jerk on the ice, but you know, I think he's a straight shooter off the ice in the locker room. He might be able to help in that room.
JR, sorry for calling you later today. We're trying to be courteous to your cell phone bill, but also we had Stanley Cup champion.
Hey, by the way, I had nothing to do today. I just got done with a massage too, so don't worry about it. It's all good. By the way, the massages up here too, they use those little banana hammocks. You know, those little banana hammocks, no towels. So again, you have to be very, very careful. That didn't work for me.
It sounds like that spa is perfect for you because it requires a lot of confidence on the individual walking in the door.
Well, you want to talk about confidence, I had a male masseuse. Thank God, because if I didn't have a male masseuse, that banana hammock
would be Stop, because we love having you on here. Don't get us in trouble.
I'm not getting you in trouble.
You're not getting us in trouble. You are. There are people in their car right now rolling over laughing right now. I gotta ask you this. Let's get back to hockey.
All the kids, that's right. All the kids are out of school right now. They might be listening. So
no, they're not out of school yet. They have another. They might be out of school in Arizona because it's so hot.
Then they're not listening, so they don't know what banana hammocks are anyway. So
no. All right, listen. While you're in your banana hammock, tell me. We are running out of time. How much? Did you hear about Mitch Marner saying, "If you're not going to pay me, I'm not coming to camp"?
I did. You know, I think that's, again, it's an unfortunate thing. You know, I think he has a lot more leverage than a guy like Michael Nylander had. So this is a guy that's going to be highly touted, highly coveted, and he knows he's going to get the big payday. I think it's a little bit different with a situation like him. So I don't mind Mitch Marner saying that. More so,
it was actually not to misquote. It was Bob McKenzie saying that of the Mitch Marner scenario. So my apologies. I don't want to make sure we misquote the athlete.
Right.
But that's a likely scenario. It's not an unlikely scenario. Yeah. So
no, for sure. And you know what? He has all the right to do it. He's had a couple of incredible years. You know, he hasn't had any down years. He's been increasingly improving his production, and I think everybody knows that he makes a lot his teammates better. So. Or a guy like Michael Nylander when he just scored 20, and you know then he doesn't make other people better, and he decides to sit out for the type of money that he wanted. That's when I'm the draw the line.
It's you enjoy your time at the spa. It's William Nylander, but we know what you meant. You are amazing, and
thinking about his dad.
Yes, I know. We knew exactly what you meant. Can we tweet out the picture of your foot from the Instigator account saying JR was live from here today? I think people would love to see that foot, JR.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. You're the man. Thank you so much. Well,
amazing.
Next week, and then we'll let you have your summer off, maybe, unless you feel like coming on.
Sounds good. I'm going to go up to the sauna, okay, guys? You guys can picture yourself. Talk to you guys later.
JR, every Wednesday, next, I think we'll give him a few weeks off over the summer. Coming up next, quick segment. We'll get out of here. Quick recap of NHL awards. Be back in a minute.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout.
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
We don't have a lot of time. Two amazing interviews today. One heartfelt with Chris Butler, one hilarious with JR. A new baby rhino born at the Buffalo Zoo today. They named it No Goal. Do you know why they named the new baby rhino No Goal? Because 20 years ago today was the No Goal Brett Hall goal that he scored right here. So they have announced at the Buffalo Zoo they're going to name the rhino No Goal. And I've loved working with you today.
Ouch.
We'll be right back tomorrow. Coming up next, One Bills Live.
Right on.
Instigators tomorrow. Rob Rate supposedly coming in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.